At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, and welcome back to Ghosts in the Valley. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have a subject I've been wanting to talk about for a while. It is on the shrunken heads. Ever since I was a child and I went to the Cleveland History and Science Museum in Cleveland, Ohio, in the late 60s, I came across a room with these shrunken heads, and I was just so fascinated with them. Before I get into that, today's episode is a little graphic, so if you have a weak stomach, or maybe you might have some nightmares over this, I will let you know when I get to the part with actually the decapitating of a head to make a shrunken head. And when I get to that part, I will let you know, so maybe you can fast forward maybe 5 minutes, so you can sleep well at night. It is a little graphic. And we'll also get into, are these shrunken heads demonic? Do they carry a curse? Can they be cursed? What were they used for? And who got these shrunken heads? We're going to cover all that in the next few minutes. And so let's get right to it. Around 1968, 1969, I went on a field trip, and I really can't remember which group I went with. I was racking my brain on this the other day. I can't remember. I do remember going to the Museum of History and Science in Cleveland with a group of kids. I was so fascinated with the dinosaur exhibit on how mammoth these bones were, and I couldn't get over all the dinosaurs that were on display. Back then, there was no internet, social media, so everything you looked up or learned about dinosaurs was at the library, or in school in your library, or if you were fortunate enough to have encyclopedias in your home. And I was constantly looking up brontosauruses, T-Rex, pterodactyls, you know. And when I got to see these skeletal remains at the museum, I was just blown away. Until I walked into this room, and the tour guide was showing us all the artifacts in this room with tribal weapons, and then we came across these shrunken heads. I remember the girl next to me saying, "Oh, how cute they looked." And I'm thinking, my mind was going a little deeper than that. Like, where do these heads come from? Were these real? Were these real human heads? And how did they get to the Cleveland Museum? And I had all these questions for the tour guide, and he wanted to answer them, but I know he was on a time limit, number one. Number two, I don't think he really wanted to go into detail on how you create a shrunken head. So as years went by, I didn't dwell on it, but you know, every now and then it would come back to me, and it would be in a certain movie, there was a reference of a shrunken head. You know, I'd always think back to that museum, the Cleveland History and Science Museum. And basically, a shrunken head is a severed human head that is either used as a trophy or a ritual or trade purposes. And that's basically it. You know, if you say a trophy, you know, that could be if these tribal wars that were going on, and these head hunters, you know, they would, if they killed their enemy, then they would cut off their head, shrink the head, then they would wear the head either around their neck as a necklace or A group of heads has their, like a belt area, a rope tied around their waist with these heads on it. And it would give notice to their enemy, this could happen to you. You know, and it's like it gave you more power. I don't know what it was. I guess if you cut off the head and shrunk it, you know, you were taking the evil spirits out of that head that would come back and haunt you for their death. That was one reason. Another would be people who collected these heads, and they had an obsession with these heads, you know, and they wherever they could get them, they would purchase these, and it was quite popular in the black market to buy these heads. So the head hunting was a lucrative business for these, I'll call them savages, you know, that just would go out and kill somebody, remove their head, and they sell them on the black market or sell them on the open market. That bothers me. Imagine yourself if you're walking in the Amazon forest and you get lost, and God forbid, you know, you're a victim. Next thing you know, your head's sitting either in a museum or it's in somebody's shelf as a collector. And, you know, they were also used as trade purposes, you know, trading a shrunken head for another piece of treasure. But headhunting had occurred in many regions of the world. But the practice of head shrinking has only been documented in the northwestern region of the Amazon forest. I should say the Amazon rainforest. The Javaran people, which include Jeshua tribes from Ecuador and Peru, are known to have shrunken human heads. And the Shur called a shrunken head Tazanza. And like I said, many of the tribe leaders would show off their heads just to scare off the enemies. So if you go into any of these museums, I'm sure if you have been across the country, they've been in a lot of science museums, a lot of shops that have weird items on in their store as mummified people, shrunken heads, etc. So your first question is probably, are these shrunken heads real or are they fake? And how are shrunken heads made? Although the realities of head shrinking are gruesome, it's also intriguing. So if you ever wanted the facts about shrunken heads, here are some of the disturbing ones that you really should know. So shrunken heads, like I said, were known to natives as Tazanza, are a traditional ritual rooted in superstition and mystery. And really, I mean, we're looking into what they were used for, how they were made, if the practices still exist today, and other questions you may have about shrunken heads. So really, number one is, what are shrunken heads used for? Tazanza are severed human heads that were used by tribal cultures in many ways. Sometimes they were used as, like I said, as being a trophy. In other cases, tribes might use them to scare off an enemy, using the heads as a threat. And if you had one or two or more heads around your waist, I think I would run if I was coming into contact with that tribal leader. And they were also used as religious rituals and even trade purposes. And although headhunting was a common practice among many ancient tribes, the act of shrinking those heads has been really just found in the northwestern Amazon region of South America. There is some evidence that the Aztecs practiced a shrunken head ritual along with tribes in some areas of modern-day Venezuela. It seems to be a tradition that is most often associated with South Americans and has been brought into the voodoo culture of some similar origins. I did come across a few voodoo rituals that included the shrunken head, and the head could be in the form of an enemy that they perform voodoo tortures on, and that person suffers the tortures that they put on that shrunken head, if that makes any sense. But yes, they were and are real human heads. In some instances, you may have a head that's not a human, that was actually made of out of an animal, or they went to freshly buried grave sites and dug up the body and severed their head that they can boiled down into a shrunken head. Sounds sick, but yes, it did happen. And some cemeteries, graveyard sites, did have mounted police actually protecting the newly deceased so their head wasn't removed. That's how popular these shrunken heads were getting. I mean, it was some money to make, especially with these tribes in the Amazon rainforest. It is estimated that around 80% of these heads in museums and museum collections are actually counterfeit versions of the tribal token. But I can assure you the heads that I've seen in the Cleveland Science and History Museum were real human heads. I mean, just by looking at them and seeing how some of them were starting to deteriorate a little bit, and the tour guide was adamant that these were real human heads. We'll be right back with the remainder of the shrunken heads after these messages.
Hello, this is Cindy Martinez, the host of Welcome to the Neighborhood podcast. Ever since I was young, I've had a passion for true crime and the paranormal. This podcast focuses on cases and stories from different cities while making the Chicagoland, my hometown, our base. If you find yourself intrigued by crime and all things spooky, find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google.
So now we're going to get to the part of how the shrunken heads were made. This may be the part where you want to come back in 5 minutes. Okay, you actually need a human to take their head. I'm presuming that some of these people that had their heads removed were already dead. Oh my God, I hope they were. A lot of times these heads were taken from a war with their enemy, and the headhunter warriors would decapitate the enemy's head of the tribe, and then depending on the ritual, the shrinking process could begin right away. But before you could shrink a head, you had to remove the head. The warrior might remove their headband and thread it through the neck and mouth of the decapitated head for easy transport. The warrior also might make an incision from the back of the neck all the way up the skull, preparing to remove the skin and the hair. So basically from the cranium down to the neck, they made an incision in the back of the head and peeled off the skin and the hair from the skull. This you had to be very delicate with, because keep in mind, when you take the skin off the skull, your eyeballs and the sockets and the tongue and the brain matter and the brain, everything is still in that skull. You're removing the outer skin off that skull. Then they would discard the skulls. Then once the warriors returned to the tribe, the boiling process would begin. And this was basically a huge party. When you're beginning the head shrinking process, then the drinking and eating and the festivities was just starting. After the skin was removed from the skull, the first thing they did was sew the eyelids shut. The lips were sewed together with sticks. Then they would place a round wooden ball where the skull was, so there was something the skin could form around. And then they would boil and simmer to make the skin rubbery and tough. But you had to be very careful you didn't overboil, overcook these shrunken heads. The hair could fall out, or the man had a mustache or beard, that hair could fall out. And then your shrunken head would be less valuable, a deformed shrunken head. The process continued as hot stones and sand were placed inside the heads, which created a tanning effect on the inside of the head and was shaped further using additional headstones until it was molded into the desired shape. Finally, the heads were rubbed with charcoal or smoked over a fire to blacken it, as it was believed that this would keep the avenged soul from escaping the head. Then the head was placed on a stick or attached to a string as a trophy, either carried or worn around a warrior's neck. So how long does it take to make a shrunken head? The shrinking process doesn't take long at all. The ritual side of things, on the other hand, would usually last a total of 6 days. For the heads to shrink, they would be boiled for only about 2 hours. Boiling it for too long would leave them ending up with a gooey and destroyed mess. Although it doesn't take an exorbitant amount of time, surprisingly, these were discarded immediately after the ritual and celebrations were completed. But when tourists and collectors started to become interested, these tribes saw an opportunity to use shrunken heads as goods in trading practices. Otherwise, they were often fed to the animals or given to children as toys. Now, you're probably asking yourself, does this shrunken head practice still exist? The trafficking of these heads were outlawed by Ecuadorian and Peruvian governments in the 1930s, but there doesn't seem to be any laws in Ecuador or Peru that prevent shrinking heads outright. So like anything else, anything you want on the black market, you're going to get. You're going to pay big dollars for it, but you can get it. In the 90 years since lawmakers made the sales of tzantza illegal, it may have still been practiced by the older generations. But the more Western culture and religion seeped into the area, the less these rituals were executed. Most likely, an authentic shrunken head hasn't been made in over 20 years. Can shrunken heads be obtained and bought today? Even though they're highly sought after commodities, mainly by the Westerners, especially during the late 1800s and early 1900s, this meant that tribes actually started killing each other just to meet this commercial demand. When they couldn't kill each other and too many of each other off, then they started going into the graveyards, the cemeteries, or if you were the unfortunate one to wander into their path, you were on the market. As previously mentioned, the sale of them became illegal by the 1930s, which discouraged murder for this purpose. So if you see them being sold online, you can assume that they are not actually human heads that were shrunken as a tribal ritual. But if you want it so bad, you may have to get yourself one, regardless of its authenticity. Some of the shrunken heads were made from materials such as leather or fabric, while others are made of animals such as pigs, cows, chimpanzees. However, the legality of using animals for this purpose is also in question. As you might imagine, many fake tzantzas are offered and sold as genuine to collectors and casual buyers at relatively high prices. So even if a seller is claiming to have a real shrunken head, it's smart to be skeptical of such claims. Overall, the heads have a gruesome yet interesting history, and these artifacts have surely made their way into mainstream culture. Now, you probably associate shrunken heads with voodoo or Harry Potter magic. This sheds maybe a different light on that. Recently, there was a head being auctioned in Troy. If you could cough up to $4,000 to $6,000, you might be able to get yourself one. It was said to be over 100-year-old shrunken head that went on the auction block in Oakland County, but comes at a pretty hefty price. If you're in Seattle, Washington area, you can stop by the Ye Old Curiosity Shop. They have shrunken heads in there, plus two mummies that are very well preserved. Also, I'll have some pictures on my Twitter account at Ghost in the Valley at Ghost Valley. Actual shrunken head pictures on there. I'll also put a link in to the Ye Old Curiosity Shop in Seattle. I'm going to close out the show today with, is there a curse on these shrunken heads, or are they dangerous to have? I've always been firm belief that when you desecrate a body, removing the head to me is just, unless it's done for scientific reasons on research, I can see problems with that. And we're going to get into a real true story. And it's been tossed around the internet for quite a while on Alfred Hitchcock and Clark Gable. Clark Gable had some unusual romantic gifts that he would give to his wife, Carol Lombard, and they would try to outdo each other with strange and weird gifts. How could you top be given a shrunken head? That's exactly what Clark Gable gave to Carol Lombard, and she thought he went a little bit too far with this because she thought the head was cursed. since she felt the head was cursed, she threw it out the car window when they were driving through the Coldwater Canyon, and then they decided to go back and pick the head up. because she thought, and it's really going to curse her now because she threw the head out the window. So what do you do with it? And she basically told Clark Gable, you know, if our marriage fails, it's because of you and that head. And also Carol Lombard was very into psychics and mediums at the time. And they all advised her that this is not a very good juju, as they put it. In other words, get rid of it. Now, there's two different stories to this. One was they gave it to Alfred Hitchcock, who is a well-known filmmaker. He discarded it in his garden. But the story I seem to see reading more of on this is Clark Gable and Carol Lombard actually buried the head in their own garden behind their home. And Alfred Hitchcock eventually bought the home off of Clark Gable and didn't know that the head was buried in the garden behind the home. But there was some tragic incidents that happened after that. In 1942, Lombard and Gable's publicity agent, Otto Winkler, and Lombard's mother took a flight home from selling bonds from the war effort. They were supposed to take the train, but instead they decided to fly. And this was right after the burial of the head in the garden. And the plane didn't make it to its destination, and everybody on the plane perished. They claim that it was because of the shrunken head. I don't know if I can buy into that. I don't think the whole thing was a good idea to begin with. And before I end tonight's show, well, I was in Cleveland Museum, the History and Science Museum. I was probably 10, 12 years old. And I was had so many questions for the gentleman that was leading our group. And he did tell me off to the side, me and a friend of mine, that because he's seen how we were so fascinated with these shrunken heads, that he really didn't feel safe in that room in the evening when he was closing up and he was, you know, dusting, or a cleaning crew would come in and they would report weird things happening in the room. Were these heads cursed? Were they used for voodoo? Did they sew the eyes and the mouth shut to keep the evil spirits in? Do you think it's safe to collect shrunken heads, to have one in your possession? I'm your host, Al Cooley, of Ghosts in a Valley.
Podcast Network.